Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves. And do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God.
Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord.
If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commandments, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land.
I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you.
I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have no more, you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Nice to see you all, and thank you so much for having me back. It's great to be amongst you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Joe Lowther. I grew up in Richmond and was part of a joint sort of youth group with Holy Trinity as a child, even though I went to Christian Fellowship in Richmond at Halford House down the road, where I still go today. But I'm also CEO of Kick, and I'm so excited to be here for Kick Sunday. Our Christian charity that was founded and continues to be based out of Holy Trinity's back office down the corridor. And so again, thank you so much as a church for your long-standing faithfulness in giving, praying, and generally being incredibly kind to our ministry. Over the last 20 years. We are 20 this coming year, so very excited about that. Today I'm going to be speaking to you about God's ways, and God's ways are clear. Know me, follow me, and I will dwell with you. And we'll look at this approach in a variety of ways as we look at this in the verses we read from Leviticus, as well as three case studies I'm going to share with you, two from the Bible, and then I'll also give you an update on what's been going on with Kick. So the first one, know God. We see in verses 1 to 2 of Leviticus 13, and Leviticus 26, and if we can keep that open, that would be good. That it says, do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves. Do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. God wants us to know, I am the Lord. He wants us to know him directly, personally. He's jealous for our attention and desires relationship with us. Like any truly loving father, He enjoys time with his children and wants us to avoid distractions or worse, things that might lead us away from him and damage us. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16, it talks about the importance and the joy of knowing the mind of Christ. Our Father, God, wants us to know his approaches, to understand his ways, so that we can be close to him and grow in a way which is strong and secure in his love for us. Jesus pleased God so much because as his son, he knew his father's mind and followed his father's ways. If we know the mind of Christ, we can listen to the father's instructions and follow his ways. And this is a choice. This is not a one-off choice. This is a decision that we can make to honor God. But it's a regular choice, a regular option that we face to know his ways, to know him, to follow the mind of Christ. To either know God more deeply or to remain in the shallow end. The tide is constantly pushing us back from knowing God and following his ways. So we are faced with a choice consistently each day. We go further away from God unless we swim toward him, to follow him. It's not an easy thing in a world which pushes us away. But God wants to know you and he wants you to know him. So let's remind ourselves this week consistently to know God. I also want to share with you the first case study. And this is a case study that I had no idea about until 2 weeks ago. Okay, there's two of the case studies I had no idea about. The other one, obviously, Kick, I've known about for 7 years at least. But the two are brand new news to me. So how much do we know about Nicodemus? Nicodemus, the Pharisee. Yeah? Well, I didn't know that much, okay? But I knew the first bit, okay, that Nicodemus was the Pharisee that wanted to know more about Jesus, wanted to get to know him in John 3, that very famous chapter in the Bible. So he went at night, as meeting with Jesus was potentially dangerous for his job and maybe even his life, to see Jesus. This dangerous step. He wanted to meet Jesus, to know him, and to understand his ways. So we see in John 3, verse 2, he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." And he quizzed Jesus on how people could enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus wanted to know God, and this is where we get later John's summary. It's not actually Jesus' words, but John's summary in verse 16 of what Jesus' mission was, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But that was not the end of what we know about Nicodemus as he sought to know Jesus. We hear about him twice more in the New Testament. Once in John 7, verse 50, when Nicodemus is faced with a choice. Do I follow Jesus or do I quit? Or do I just not say anything at all and fudge it? He takes a stand and he defends Jesus, reprimanding the other Pharisees for trying to incite a mob to kill him. And then secondly, in John 19, and this I found absolutely astonishing. I had no idea about this. Where it was actually Nicodemus who carried out the burial of Jesus Christ himself using myrrh that was prophetically given to the wise men at Jesus' birth. Nicodemus wanted to know Jesus and demonstrated this in his faith to stand up for him in a hostile situation with his colleagues, with the other Pharisees. And again, when Jesus died, when Jesus had died, was there any need to really continue to follow him when it was going to cost him? Well, no, he knew Jesus and he buried him. When following Jesus is tough at work, will you stand and say, I know him? When Jesus does not appear close in your life, will you believe him, that he loves you? God wants us to know him and to demonstrate this in steps of faith in our lives. How much do we want to know him? How much do you want to know him? It's a good question. It's something that's really challenging me. So that was the first thing I wanted to talk about. How are we doing on the slides? Yeah, good. Know God. Okay, next one. Follow God. Oh, goodness. I left the clicker. Apologies. Let's go back to Leviticus. Leviticus, totally underrated as a book. Always people are afraid of Leviticus, but it's great. It's all of God's word is beautiful. Let's go back to Leviticus 26, verse 3. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting. And you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. I will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your number. I will make my covenant with you, and you will see, you will still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move it out to make room for the new. This is a God who we can follow, who we can trust. This is a place of safety. Here, God wants to provide all that we need. He wants to protect us from harm. Wherever you are in your life, this is a God who wants to protect you. This is the same Father that desires relationship with you today. Walking as a Christian, as we see from Jesus' life, is not devoid from suffering. Far from it. This is often a part of living a faithful life to God in a hostile world to him. But God wants to bless us in it, in the suffering, in the pain, through the pain. And it is his promise, as we have seen in verse 3 of Leviticus 26, that if we follow God's decrees and are careful, interesting, not just to obey, but careful to obey his commands, we will be blessed in a variety, an abundance of ways by him. God's blessing is specific. It is bespoke to each life in this room and in various situations. The Bible says that God knocks on the door of our hearts. He is eager to come in and bless our lives, providing what we need in times of trouble. He doesn't always provide the jam, but he always provides the bread and butter when we are walking in his ways. I want to share with you this second case study that, again, I hadn't seen and is related to the first one. And it's a story of someone I've just not thought very much about, this guy, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph did not appear to be an educated man, unlike Nicodemus. But I love that these two examples of men were there at the cross. These two, perhaps like airbrushed examples, perhaps, maybe I'm wrong, but in my understanding, they were from different backgrounds. But they collaborated and followed God. Joseph might not have been someone who was interested or he may well have been somebody, sorry, who was interested in the situation of Jesus. We don't know, but what we do know is that he was there. He was there when he was ordered to carry the cross of Jesus. Are we present with Jesus? Are we there? Are we ready to carry the cross? Are we prepared to drop everything to walk with Jesus at a minute's notice? Without Joseph of Arimathea carrying the cross, and by the way, this wasn't a lifetime's work. This was a one-off event that he had to do that particular day. And that's often the step of faith that the Lord asks us to take. But without Joseph of Arimathea carrying the cross, who knows, it might not have happened. He followed. He was a part of God's master plan to revolutionize history and to bring us back to knowing God. Joseph of Arimathea followed God. Will you? Will I? So, we've looked at knowing God. We've looked at following God. Let's just look at the last bit, dwelling with God. So, is that right? Thank you. Verse 11. I will put my going back to Leviticus 26. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with your head held high. As we know, God, follow him, this is where he lives with us. It's such a cool idea that God would dwell with us. So amazing. When the Israelites were there in the wilderness, God would physically dwell in their presence in this big tabernacle tent. And they'd all encamp around the tabernacle tent with the Levite tribes in that inner rim. And then they'd have the different tribes camping around. And at the center was the tabernacle. There would be a cloud of every day over the tabernacle, and at night a fire would hover over the tabernacle to remind the people where God was. He was there. He dwelt among them. And he wants us to be his people. We have all got now the opportunity as Gentiles as well as Jews to know him personally through his Holy Spirit. And we can be encouraged today by the examples that he gives, he gave in verse 13 of Leviticus 26, how he led the Israelites out of slavery to enable them to be free. And this is, I just love the language it used here, breaks the bars of the yoke that trapped their neck and held them down, imprisoned them. These were broken by God's hand so that they were not just free, but they could hold their heads up high. I mean, it's just such helpful language. What held you down today? What traps you? Is it a broken relationship? Is it some unforgiveness? Is it a hope or dream that hasn't been fulfilled? Is it an addiction to pornography? What holds you down? What traps you? God wants to break these bars that enslave us and enable us to hold our head up high. So we've looked today at knowing God, at following him, and at where he dwells, seeing him in action, seeing him clearly. And so it's Kick Sunday, and I really want to share with you a little bit about Kick and this final case study of how God has dwelt with us and how we've seen him at work and how he's enabled us to follow him and to know him in amongst this. and to see him dwell. So, I'm so sorry, Nikki. Is you okay to wrap it through these? So, for those of you that don't know KIC, we exist for these reasons and many others, but these are some of the reasons. The fact that children express a sense of hopelessness, and we see this as 1 in 3 15-year-olds identify with a mental health condition. 95% of children don't go to church in the UK, just 4.5%. 2 million grow up in lone parent families, and UNICEF identify fatherlessness as one of the 4 pillars of global poverty. And then, thank you, 3 out of 5 16 to 24-year-olds grow up and say they feel disillusioned with life. And to be disillusioned is one step away from real danger. And so for us, this sense of hopelessness is heartbreaking. And we want to give children and young people a hope for the future and a joy in the present. And so our mission is to transform young people's lives with God's love through sport and support. And this mission was founded at this church by people here in this building as they met and prayed and sought the Lord as to what God would ask us to do 20 years ago. And 20 years hence, God is using us. Our new vision is that, as I shared, I think, last year or the year before, that we felt preserved for a purpose during COVID and the lockdown, when all the schools were shut and we should have gone bust. We felt God preserved us for a purpose. We felt that Zoom literacy brought the country closer together in terms of being able to be in Newcastle and Wales and Kent, as well as central London, as I was able to be on Friday, for example, brought the country closer together in that way. And then thirdly, the need dramatically increased. So we've got this new vision to reach a generation of young people within a generation of time, and to go to the 15 regions of the UK within the next 15 years. This is what KIC does in one slide. If kids aren't filling our churches, then we want to go out to them. And where are they? Well, they're in the schools. So we go into schools and we do 4 things: PE, street dance, mentoring, and chaplaincy. And then we train volunteers from local churches to run something called a KIC Academy, which is where we do some coaching with an inspirational thought from the Bible, and then an application as a stepping stone to welcome children and young people back to church for Sunday morning, Sunday school discipleship. It is so good to have you here, SA, by the way. Really excited to have you here. So in terms of our work, we go into schools. People always say, oh, KIC, that's just football, isn't it? Well, it is. It is football, but it's actually one of 38 different sports or dance disciplines. New for this year, Brazilian Carnival. How cool is that? So we're very excited to be delivering now a really wide range of different sports in schools. Aspirational choice as we deliver coaching. But we also believe in compassion, and so we're really pleased to be able to provide the solutions-focused approach to mentoring, which builds on cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, to help children and young people find the solutions to the problems they face. This is a real opportunity for us to reach children that are hurting, that have gone through all kinds of pain, and we now work with 700 mentees a week delivering this service. The E of our work, is that we believe in excellent education. And so we believe that sport should be for all, not just the most gifted and talented. And that sport, dance, and mentoring can have a profound impact on the personal development of the individual, the social impact of a school and church community, and on physical literacy of the young people. And when we've locked them up for the best part of a year during the lockdowns, we need to help them understand their physicality, healthy eating, healthy habits, as well as something called academic integration. Are there ways that we can teach RE through PE and communicate Christian values, the truths of God, the characteristics of God through sport and dance? We also believe in intentional relationships at KIC. And so these are some of the things the young people say about us. You know, Jaden says, I hate school, but I look forward to school when the KIC coaches are in. Tamika talks about how she feels listened to and accepted for who she is by our mentors. And Jean-Paul, deputy head at Marshgate, just over the road, talks about how we've become an integral part of school life, developing an outstanding curriculum. And that's encouraging, isn't it, from a non-faith school that they feel that way about us. We also believe in integral interactions. And so in some schools, some Church of England schools, we're able to provide schools-based chaplaincy. And I'm really encouraged to say that Holy Trinity Richmond, this year, Alison, the head teacher, has felt the need to double our capacity in the school. So we've increased from half a day to a whole day of chaplaincy in Holy Trinity Primary, and we're absolutely delighted about that as we deliver schools-based chaplaincy. So those are the four things we do in schools, and ACE2 are those different aspects of how we do them. The stepping stone is the KIC Academy, and this is where we train local people from a local church community to engage their local young people through some coaching, through an inspirational thought from the Bible, and then through an application of either matches or, if it's a dance-based one, routines. So that we can demonstrate God's love in the school, declare the gospel, help young people make a decision. And in our tournament last year, 25 children gave their lives to the Lord. That tournament is next Saturday. So please be praying for our tournament next Saturday, that children and young people would commit their lives to the Lord. We have over 300 children coming that day, that they would know the Lord. So that they get to be discipled by local churches for a lifetime. And that is our desire, that they would know the Lord, follow him, and dwell with him. So just in terms of our movement, we've moved from 17 to 103 schools in the last 6 years.
Amazing.
The mentoring, as I mentioned, we now reach 700 children a week, one-to-one. Staff team-wise, we've gone from 7 to 77 in that period. And in London, we've moved from 6 to 26 boroughs in the last 6 or 7 years. But as I said, we felt preserved for a purpose, and our new vision is to reach a generation of young people within a generation of time. There are 11.5 million children and young people in the UK that are in the 29,000 schools, but sadly not all in the 40,000 churches. And so we took this bold step to move to the West Midlands, East Midlands and the East of England last September. And we planted satellite sites in the south and southeast of the UK, one school in Kent, one school in Bournemouth. And from this September, we are absolutely delighted to inform you that we are going to the northwest and the northeast of the UK. This journey is on, it started, and we are moving forward in faith, and God is enabling the growth. We looked at what would it look like to have generational change in the UK, and we thought, well, look, if we could reach 10% of the children and young people in the UK, would that make generational change? We thought that would be 1 million children that are unchurched. How would we ever do that? So we thought, well, we've grown at a rate of 5 in 5 years to reach 10,000 children a week. What would life look like if we grew at a rate of 4 in the following 5 years to reach 40,000? What would life then look like if we grew at a rate of just under 4 in the following 5 years to reach 150,000? And then what would life look like if we got a rate of 6 in the final 5 years to reach 1 million? The only way I can describe this without looking completely crazy is that these are our 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we're giving them back to the Lord, and we're asking him to do the miracles. But as we've been reading today, he is a God of miracles, and where he dwells, things happen. And so I'm delighted to share with you today that we have doubled in size in the last 18 months to reach now 21,000 children a week. It's 21,218. That 218 is really important. But he's brought the increase. And as I say, it's been absolutely thrilling to see that kind of growth. Pick a picture, I'll tell you a story. Anybody, it's interactive. Don't be afraid. Any picture, I'll tell you a story. Oh, goodness. On my left and my right, terrible. Is that one with the rose? The Chosen. Brilliant. Thanks for that. Yeah, good. So we deliver chaplaincy at a school down the road in Hounslow called the Green School. And one of our chaplains had the opportunity to be present when they were just after, sort of in sort of September, October time. They were just doing the lateral flow testing for the girls' school. And it was very stressful. The girls were really anxious, and it was quite painful and challenging for the teaching staff. And so as they were doing this, they people were quite stressed and anxious. It was a very difficult day. And at the end, one of the teachers came up to our chaplain, and they said, "How have you done today with so much peace? How have you got through today? It's been awful and so stressful." And so he shared with her that it wasn't to do with him, it was to do with the Lord. And she ended up giving her life to the Lord that day. Now, we as an organization exist for the young people, but by God's grace, we were able to lead that lady through to the Lord. And she now goes to church locally to the school. Praise the Lord. Jesus is alive. Pick a picture, I'll tell you a story. Blackburn, yes. So, I got a chance to meet Blackburn Diocese Education Director, and I met with him, and he said, "I have 100 organizations asked me to come and speak at our conference, and I turned down 97, but I want you to come because I believe you're bringing the kingdom of heaven to Blackburn." So I thought, wow, that is so kind. So I get on the train, I go up to Blackburn, I speak to 65 head teachers in Blackburn, and 26 come up to me afterwards and say, "We're interested to explore working with you in Blackburn." And I thought, wow, this is amazing. So I came on the train and I thought, this is so great. And then I thought, we don't know anyone in Blackburn. We're based in London. Lord, please provide us people that would be in Blackburn. This is on the Friday. I get home at like 7 o'clock. I'm buzzing after this day. But I'm thinking, Lord, please provide the right people. I get a phone call from our HR manager on the Monday. She says, "I've got some terrible news, really sad news. Beth, who's been working with us, who's been studying at St. Miletus Bible College whilst working with us part-time, she's felt called to leave London. And, you know, really sad about that. She's going to go and work for a church. But she was wondering if ever Kick might go into that new region to come deliver." I said, "Well, where is it? Where is it?" She said, "Well, it's a crazy place. It's a place quite far away. It's in Blackburn." I couldn't believe it. I said, "This is amazing news." So she had said she wanted to go work in Blackburn, but would still love to work with Kick up there. And so again, it filled me with great peace and assurance that God was with us, that God, we were dwelling with God, and that God was working through our work. Pick a picture, I'll tell you a story. Quick for time. Don't be afraid. Cambridge, yeah. So we started in Cambridge for the first time this past September. And in week one, our coach goes in, and it's a lovely story, actually. He got married to somebody from Cambridge and had to leave the organization. And then a year later, we moved to Cambridge, and he was able to come back and work for us. So it was just so good. But he goes in, and he does an assembly. He takes out a £5 note, and he blows a raspberry on it, and then he rubs it on his backside, and then he stamps on it, and then he scrumples it up, and then he uncrumples it, and he says, "This £5 note, although it goes through difficult times, is still worth something. It's still worth great value." And he said, "This is what it's like for your life. Although you might go through difficult, challenging times where you feel dirty and crushed and spat on, God still values you exactly the same." And I wasn't there, but my colleague was. He said, "You could cut the atmosphere with a knife, you know." And the head teacher called me up the next day. She said, "That assembly has meant so much to me and our school community. And I'd like to introduce you to two other schools locally to us because I think the work at Kick is great." And it was just amazing. I mean, we'd not been there before. We didn't know anyone. But we were able to make an impact in a new area because God was dwelling with us and enabling us to speak into lives. Okay, final one. This is so funny. This one is often picked the first. It's the broken glass. This is of a church not far away, where in again in Hounslow, where it was a plant from St. Stephen's Church, and they started up a kick academy. They had 7 children. So they'd meet on a Saturday morning, and they do some coaching with an inspirational thought from the Bible, and then matches. And they did this faithfully for 2 years. And then what happened was, the council said, you're not allowed to use this, we're going to redevelop this plot of land for housing. So you've got to use the one over there. And the one over there was where people took their dogs. It's where people got drunk on a Friday night and smashed beer bottles. And so they went from this nice place to this rough piece of land where every morning they have to get up, they have to clear dog mess and broken glass from the pitch in order to play. So they did this again faithfully for 18 months, and then COVID hit, and they just thought, we're not allowed to meet. Let's just stop. We can't face it any longer. And so they planned to stop, and then they prayed, and they really felt God lay on their heart to keep going. And so they went back to their 7 families. They said, guys, we feel it's right to keep going. Would you like to come? They came, and they each brought a friend, 14 children. The following week, it grew to 27 and then to 35. They've had to cap it at 81 children a week because after lockdown, families want children, young people to be physically fit and active. But interestingly, there's a real opportunity there for them to know the gospel. And so again, they clear that glass with such joy. They were telling me they just can't wait to clear the glass in order to reach the kids. God dwells where we know him and where we follow him. And we are grateful for their faithfulness. So yeah, people sometimes come and say, what can I do? I don't like sports. I hate football. Don't worry. It's one of 38 sports or darts disciplines. But equally, as it says, we please pray for us. Please pray for us. Thank you that you regularly pray for us. We are so grateful. Please introduce us to any local schools that you might know of or other churches, etc. Please promote kick academies that are happening to your local children, young people. Thank you for all that give. We are so grateful. And finally, please dare to try it. We had a kick academy at this church for many years. And the wonderful Tom Rutter has now moved to Cornwall. We're very sad about that. But equally, one day we would love to have a kick academy back at this church. And so please pray if that time is now or another time. Thank you. So look, that's everything for me. I wonder, can I just pray for us before we close? And as I say, coming back into today's talk, I was encouraged. You know, we looked, didn't we, at Nicodemus and the way in which he wanted to know God at risk to his profession. Joseph of Arimathea and the way in which he was there and followed God. And then, as I say, some testimonies of God working in our present day, dwelling with us at Kick. And so maybe as we close, I'll just pray for us, because it's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, God, that we can know a God who breaks yokes of slavery. Thank you, God, that you are a God who wants us to hold our head up high. You're not wanting to take us out of slavery to enslave us in pain again. You want to take us out of slavery to enable us to hold our heads up high, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the reading at the start of today from Psalm 106, where it says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever." That is the God we want to know and we want other people to know about. Thank you, God, that we sang, "Who can stop the Lord Almighty?" Thank you, God, that we can follow you. And when we do, you are unstoppable. And thank you, God, that as we sang in that final song, as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, brought with the precious blood of Christ. Thank you, God, that as we know you, as we follow you, you dwell with us and nothing can take us away from your grasp. I pray for each person here today that you would bless them and you would help us to choose to know you better today and everything that that brings. Amen.